seen each other for a very long time. We just like, man, we mustn't be enemies. I know you don't like me.
Congratulations.
Afternoon, morning, Honourable Pack.
Morning. I was waiting for the other moment that you were going to
make. Hey, what's going on? You lost?
I hope understandable to everyone bond why. Honorable Prof, I want to refer to that he has arrived. They performed in the past elections. And we wish you well, Chief, in your new journey. But welcome everybody, DG, and the entire from the department. We thought we should proceed with our meeting. We have convened so that we can have an interaction with the department with regard to what they have been doing for the fourth quarter expenditure and performance for 2015-16. We'll take this opportunity to present to your DG so that you can take us through. Those who want to have tea, you will go have tea while the proceeding proceed. Over to you, Doctor.
Thanks very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Matal. I just want to start by thanking the Portfolio Committee for the request last week that we swap the sessions because some of us were involved in the cabinet reporter with the minister, so we couldn't attend. And we're grateful that you were able to accommodate us. But I've also been informed that the session on the IKS last week went very, very well. So the moral of the story is that if the department wants to have good interaction with the portfolio committee, the DG should not be there. That's the message I took from that. But thank you very much for the opportunity. I would like to introduce the one person, the others, they can introduce themselves. We have been able to fill the position of the Chief Financial Officer, Honorable Chen, Honorable Members, and we would like to introduce her, Preeti Magubule, correct? She's our new CFO. We have not seen her before, but the other faces, I think we will talk about it to just introduce our CFO. So my name is Phil Joffer, still the DG of Science and Technology.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Tom Nagule, DDG for Institutional Guidance Support at the DSC. Thank you.
My name is already introduced. I'm Preeti Magubule, CFO of DSC. Morning, honorable members. Peter Matutu. I'm the acting DDG for Research Development Support today on behalf of Dr. Thomas Afterheide.
Good morning, honourable members. I am Martin Mopehi, Special Advisor to the Minister.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Mboni Mope, DDG for Technology Innovation.
Good morning, I'm Tantola Bodoman, Committee Assistant in the Committee.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Nandi Pao from the Office of Education, Science and Technology.
Good morning, my name is Kansar and I'm from JPN.
My name is Kasar Matare, a member of the committee, and thank you, Dr. Fo, for making us introduce ourselves, because you know we as well have been working together, so we just continue. My apologies for that. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Agnes Stack and I'm from the committee.
Good morning, I'm Amelie Lockridge, and I'm also a member of the committee.
David Paulson, and I'm also a member of the committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Renee Osborne-Allen, the content advisor for the committee.
Thank you very much. So we have the slides which we always present, but we hope that the portfolio committee is familiar, so we'll give the purpose of why we're here and purpose of the GST, a little bit of background performance at each of the GSTs or the goals and the performance program and the financial performance. So this is the fourth quarter non-financial as well as financial performance report. The policy mandate of the GSD, as we've indicated before, is white paper of 1996. And then we had started to look at whether we can have all the role players in the policies aligned together in order to drive social economic development through science and technology. And we have, since 2002, out of the white paper, to develop both the 10-year innovation plan and the national research and development strategy. We are still trying to make sure that we develop knowledge, but where we can use knowledge in order to assist South Africa to be a knowledge-based economy, and in so doing, make sure that the socio-economic development is enhanced through science and technology. The vision is to increase well-being and prosperity through science, technology, and innovation. And the mission is to provide, as a department, leadership and enabling environment and resources for science, technology, and innovation in support of the country's development. So I went through these slides, Chairperson and Honorable Members, quickly because the assumption is that we have been through this. The work of the department is aligned to a number of outcomes, again, which we have shared before, of this current government. Long healthy life, decent employment, educated workforce, efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network, vibrant, equitable, and sustainable in rural communities, and then environmental assets. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 strategy outcome oriented goals that are on our strategy plan. First one is a responsive, coordinated, and efficient NSI. As we've indicated, this is the pillar of our work from the white paper. We would like to continue to increase knowledge generation because this is the game that we're in. We need to have adequate human capital development, and then we try and look for areas where knowledge can be used for economic development and also where knowledge is utilized for inclusive development. So as we have said, during this quarter, we are happy to report that out of the 61 planned output targets, we achieved 87% and 13% were not achieved, and we provide the reasons as to why these were not achieved towards the end of the presentation. This is just a schematic graph that shows the 87% and the 13% that has not been achieved. So if we take each of these strategic outcome or in the goals, we are then going to just give highlights of where we are, and then later on have details, selected outputs with an understanding that the committee got a full report. One of the areas which we are working on is the area of R&D tax incentive. We have discovered that this work can be done much, much better, so we just reports that the minister in November established a task team to look at how better we can have efficiencies or perhaps a need for a redesign of this R&D tax incentive. So the task team was set up to formulate recommendations about measures to improve the design and administration of the incentive, and they have made some recommendations which we are working through. The key issues address a broad design of the incentive, how it compares with international practices and the procedure for assessing the incentive for companies and specific refinements to qualification criteria and administrative capacity. We will, at an appropriate time, Chair and Honourable Members, come and share the outcome of this task team. But I'm happy at this meeting to say that there were three high-level recommendations that the task team made. The first was how we can deal with the backlog that we have of the applications for the R&D tax incentive from 2010-12. And then the second one is the need for some legislative amendments that need to be considered. And then the last one is a need for us to look at whether as part of defining the administrative burden, whether a pre-approval system is not a system that we should work on towards. So we're working through these recommendations. Of course, some of them require that we engage National Treasury and the South African Revenue Services, and once those consultations have been completed, we'll come to the committee and indicate what those changes are, including, of course, the usual reports to Parliament via the committee on the report for the last year. So it's becoming a very nice piece of work, and we are able to reach through the backlog, so we'll come to the report. The second activity in this responsive, coordinated and efficient NSI, as the committee members would know, is that we are trying to work with National Treasury in order to get the 1.5% gross expenditure on R&D as a percentage of GDP achieved. So a technical group has been set up at National Treasury to look at how we can look at sources of funding to achieve this target. So the meeting has met in terms of reference for this research, development and innovation technical group was to establish an integrated view of funding pressures of the South African public R&D system. What we are beginning to learn, and of course there are a number of issues that we are addressing here, and again we'll share with portfolio committee at an appropriate time, is that at times when the funding is tight, we need first of all to make sure that the funding that is already being deployed is it's being well coordinated. So we are proposing budget coordination structure, and now we have consulted with other government departments and they are giving us reports as to how it would work. And then the second proposal that we are working through with the team is whether we could have a mechanism of getting other public funds for science, technology and innovation from provincial structures as well as local structures. So we will again, once this is finalized, come and make a specific proposal to the portfolio committee, but this is working in progress. The work of the department and the committee, as raised this many times, requires collaboration and partnership with other government departments. So we now have a framework for cooperation on advanced technology and innovation with other government departments, and this implementation framework has now started to work, and then we are looking at working with some key departments on some of the joint activities. For instance, with the Department of Trade and Industry, we're looking at coordinating all public funding for commercialization and the commercialization framework jointly with the DTI. Second item working with them on is how we can have emerging research R&D-led activities included in the Industrial Policy Action Plan, for an example. But there are many others that we need to work with. On the knowledge generation side, I was hoping that I would get a source and reference for the first point, Dr. Matutu, but maybe you can remind us. The stats show that unemployment level of high school leavers is about 35%. But the data shows that for people with a university degree, this drops from 35 to 5.8%. And if a person has a master's and a doctoral qualification, it drops further to 2.8. So I don't know if you know the source of this. I was just going through it for the last time this morning. I was saying, gosh, I wonder where this comes from. And we haven't done what we are trained as scientists to do to reference this, but maybe Dr. Matur could quickly tell us where these numbers come from.
The government SA, the quarterly labor survey, this particular year was 2013.
Thanks. For me, I thought it was a very impressive set of numbers in terms of the work that we do. So we therefore continue to make sure that we have funding towards people then to be taken through the master and PhD program. And we are happy to report then that this quarter the accumulative number of postgraduate students that were supported is 13,545. And about 4,000 researchers were awarded as a grant. They are the ones who train students at master and postgraduate level. And then the internship program, which is coordinated again under the Human Capital Development Program, We are happy to indicate that about 946 students and postgraduate students were placed in the workplace preparation program. This places undergraduate and postgraduate students in work environments to gain the necessary work experience, and this we think contributes immensely to the adoption of the postgraduate students in the job market, as well as finding, again, maybe Petiva would remember this from the top of her head, of the number of these interns who, after being through this program, go through, who get formal employment as a result of this program, as well as how many of them decide to go and do postgraduate. I don't know if you have this at the back of your head.
That's correct. About 60% of them get a job within 3 months of completion, and then 20% of them go back into the further postgraduate, whether it's master's or PhD or not.
Thanks again, Dr. Matic. Yes. On the infrastructure, again, we have 64 grants that are awarded across four categories of research infrastructure. Scientific research equipment, which is equipment placed in laboratories, the global infrastructure. In certain instances, we don't have infrastructure to do particular research activities, so we have partnerships with a number of countries that may have such infrastructures, things like the hardware collider we don't have, but I think we have a good partnership with CERN on these areas, specialized facilities and high-end infrastructure. And then also on cyber infrastructure, we are happy to say 11 new sites within Sunburn were added to the network during this quarter, bringing the number of sites that have been connected to over 250. I'm sure the members may not be aware that when we rolled out the Sunburn network, some of the higher education institutions said the problem is no longer the broadband infrastructure, the main long haul, it's how we get from the pile into the institution. So by tracking the number of sites that we are connecting helps us to know that the network that we have provided is becoming useful to universities, and they are beginning to use the network. On the indigenous knowledge system, we are happy to report that two peer-reviewed research articles were published on Moringa research and development by the University of Rajasthan, and then clinical studies on anti-wrinkle oil extracts from an indigenous plant were completed, with the candidate product proving safe and effective in reducing human skin wrinkles after just 2 weeks. So again, we continue to try and take this through the commercial phase, and then the benefit-sharing agreement was signed between CSIR and two indigenous knowledge holder communities, the South African CERN Council and National Coast CERN Council in February 2016, and in order to make sure that the knowledge holders can also get the social and economic benefits of the commercialization of technology. On the beneficiation work that we're doing, the highlight is on the work that we are doing on the zircon resources to try and develop the process along the zirconium metal value chain. This includes nuclear-grade zirconium metal as a fine product, as well as a novel process for the manufacturing of nuclear-grade zirconium metal powder has been developed. This is one of the materials that have been used in the nuclear industry as part of making sure that the fuel cycle is completed. So we are happy with the progress that's been made. On the hydrogen and fuel cell work, the minister launched two functional prototypes at the Impala Platinum Refinery in Springs this year. As we know, this is part of the intellectual property created under the HISA program. And we now learn that Impala Platinum has agreed to replace 35 diesel and electric forklifts with the new and improved hydrogen fuel cell forklift, part of the work that is done by. And we hope that many other mining houses would also follow suit as part of the uptake of this locally developed technology. Last year, we commissioned a study to establish the state of scientific and technical readiness for South Africa to support hydraulic fracturing during the reporting period. This is the work that was done by the Academy of South Africa. We also finalized the Bioenergy Atlas, which is a web-based decision-making support tool which is targeting both energy policymakers and potential investors in the energy sector to look at how we can generate bioenergy from biomass. And this includes the provision of guidelines to rural communities on how to use combustible biomass so that you can generate electricity from it. So we are happy with this research work. We also, as part of our contribution to food security, to report on the which breeding platform that was established and funded during the reporting period. And the platform is being developed in partnership with NSA and co-financed by the Winter Cereal Trust. Also, we provided seed funding for soybean improvement program, which is implemented by a consortium focusing on soybean pests and diseases. So this is again using research to make sure that the productivity, especially important sectors of the agricultural economy, continue to rise. And then we have a number of targeted decision support under knowledge utilization for inclusive development that we'd like to share with the portfolio committee under HELP. A web-based application to process drug resistance was developed. It has been shown that this SEC2-TM vastly reduces the cost and time involved in analyzing data on viral DNA compared to conventional methods. It will enable researchers and clinicians to routinely and easily process their drug resistance testing data without needing expert bioinformatics assistance. So this is done in collaboration with the National Health Laboratory Services here in Heidelberg, as well as the NHLS, University of Witwatersrand, National Institute of Communicable Diseases. So we're happy again that the technology development and the adoption is done in partnership with those who can actually use these tools. We also have continued to support the innovation for local and economic development strategy, especially innovation driven local economic development in distressed municipalities. The sanitation technology assessment evaluation tool was completed, and I was told recently that Minister will be launching one of the low-ball flush toilets in one of the districts in the Eastern Cape as part of this assessment. The final protocol was shared with the technology developers at the CSIR Convention Center, and then as a result, for the first time in South Africa, a tool for assessing the actual operation of the sanitation was developed, and this is a tool that we will make available to the municipalities for them to use, because we discovered that quite often sometimes the procurement at local municipalities is not informed by a scientific tool on which sanitation technologies to be used. On international relations, we continue to have good relationship with our Japanese colleagues. So in this particular example, we report on the agreement on the production of biofuels using algal biomass. We also continued with the partnership with Japan on the program called Sanren Technology Research Partnership and Sustainable Development Program, and this program has a competitive call to facilitate research collaboration between our Japanese colleagues and developing countries in particular, so we've taken a full advantage of this, this project. So now, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, so those are just the high-level highlights, so now I would like to go to each of the program and give sample performance. Again, we hope by now the Honourable Members are familiar with the programs of the GST, starting with Administration, Technology Innovation Program 2, Research Development Support Program 4, Socio-Economic Innovation Partnership Program 5, and International Cooperation and Resources Program 3. So Program 1 achieved 80% of the target and 40 were not achieved. Program 2, 89%, 300%, Program 4, 79%, and Program 5, 86%. And the next graph, I think, just shows this schematically in terms of the number of targets per program that were achieved in blue, or light blue, and then in red, those that were not achieved. Again, the program wants to conduct the overall management and administration of the DSC. Here are some selected areas of performance on our quarterly performance report approved by Excellent Science by DG within 60 days. We achieved that. 90 days to fill vacancies. We did it in 71 days. This is an area where we will start to underperform, because I hope the members are aware that they have done some attempts to reduce the compensation of budgets, and then we've had to decide whether we should continue to fill the position, because when we look at the budget for the next 2 to 3 years under the MTF allocation, we would have a problem if we fill some of these positions. So have this back until we get clarity. Okay. That will be best for the next time I come report in the next quarter, but we're just begging this for now. On paying suppliers within 30 days during this period, we had this for almost all the months that we did. And then of DST personnel submitting performance contract on time with achievement is 7.5. Communication and media plans approved by the DST, target of 2 that was planned for the quarter, we got 6. A public participation program, we had targeted 3 for this quarter, we did that. And then in terms of media articles written to raise the profile of the DST, target was 4 and reached that target. Program 2, enable research development in strategic and emerging focus areas to promote the realization of commercial products, processes and services from R&D outputs by having enabling policies that implement. We're happy to say that we had targeted 4 innovation enabling programs to be implemented. We achieved that. In terms of the number of disclosures received from publicly funded institutions, universities, science councils, target was 275. We overachieved that. And then evaluation and assessment reports developed and approved by EXCO, so for both T and Sandra, this was done as we expected. On the number of knowledge products that are generated in this quarter, so these are publications, patents, we achieved more than the target of 118. In terms of the number of postgraduate students that are supported in this program, we set a target of 382. We were able to get 42. On the third program, which is the international cooperation and resources, in terms of having 3 dedicated international technical exchanges to build or reinforce our capabilities in science, technology and innovation domains, we got 10. 2 AU or SADC STI initiatives, including programs, projects or governance framework, and those at the AU or SADC level, we actually had 13. You would remember that this is the program that has achieved 100% of its targets. So we have been working with the DDG to ensure that perhaps we are a bit too tighter in the way that we set the targets, because we're not happy that we always get 100%. So in the following year, we will see a little bit of tightening of these targets and maybe setting higher goals than the ones that we have achieved. On having 1 formally recorded decision made in intergovernmental STI forums, we got 6 of these. And then we also track how many high-level scientists occupy leadership positions in global platforms. So we're happy to say that we were able to have over 5 leadership positions occupied by South African and international STI governance structures, because sometimes we need to have our scientists in order to influence decisions and resources in these global structures. So it's important to support those that get elected into these positions. On research development and support, in terms of the graduate students that are placed in funded, DST-funded work preparation programs, 946, I think, in the quarter. And then we have set a target of finalizing the multi-wavelength astronomy strategy and have a presentation to the executive, and this was done and completed. So we are now, if I'm not mistaken, pretty on the process of developing an implementation plan. So this is to make sure that we play a role in the radio astronomy, which is basically the SKA and the activities that are happening now at the PSO. But we're also playing in the optical part of the astronomy. This is the activities happening at the source. Also to support our colleagues who have positioned themselves on the gamma and ray site in Namibia in particular, so that the region has the full spectrum of activities in astronomy activities. And then on the science awareness and engagement programs, we were hoping to have 4 science festivals conducted, and we had 8, so again, that was achieved. On infrastructure, 60 infrastructure grants were awarded, target was 60, we managed 84. Complications in NSI accredited assess at journal 7158 instead of 7000. And then on the last program, which is looking at enhancing the growth and development priorities of government through targeted STI based innovation interventions. And again, we are happy to indicate that the target was 4 knowledge products. We achieved 5. The decision support interventions are maintained and improved, the ones that I showed earlier on. 6 were maintained and improved. And then also we had 50 masters and doctoral students fully funded as part of this program. 267 masters and doctoral students funded the core pilot in some of the areas that is under the oversight of this program. And then the knowledge and innovation products, it was approximately 38 out of 20. So let's look at the targets that are not achieved. And here we provide at least an attempt by ourselves to say what are the reasons why the targets sometimes are not achieved. So it's either process delays, and this refers to factors sometimes which are outside the control of the DSC because we work with implementing agencies. Sometimes we haven't received the documentation on time, and therefore we are not confident that those numbers will pass through the auditing process. Sometimes it's administrative delays. So in other words, documents are supposed to be taken through internal DST structures, and maybe there were delays in one reason or another, or ineffectiveness of implementers. As I say, sometimes we have milestones on the contracts that we have with them, and sometimes these are not met. So this pie chart tries to indicate that out of the 13% that were not achieved, what were the reasons for this not to be achieved? So you can see that the large number of targets that are not achieved is because of the way that we formulate targets. So we are then going through this in much more detail and find a better way in which, as we formulate them, they are better formulated. The process delays, as I said before, it's about 30%, and the admin delays is about 25%. And we now would like to take the honorable members through some of these that were not achieved. So in terms of the target of the GST public entity strategy plans APP approved by the minister and shareholders compact signed by the minister and chairpersons of the board, not all shareholders compacts are signed by the minister on time. We are now looking at this target because out of the entities that report to Minister of Science and Technology, it's only the CSIR that is scheduled 3D that actually, according to law, they have to sign this. But we are also trying to see whether if we continue with this process, how early should we make sure that we start the process, because sometimes the delays is with the boards approving these internally, and then as they go through the DST. So this is one area that we are looking and reviewing very, very carefully. The other one is on science and technology media monitoring report that is tabled at EXCO, and sometimes the service provider doesn't give us the report on time, so this is an example of a process delay. And then in terms of nanotechnology, or the technology development and innovation policy directive, on the nano innovation roadmap, getting it approved by EXCO, that was not met, so it's, and then the procurement of the service provider to do this work. So all of these are our own admin delays within the department. These are targets that we are trying to negotiate both with the NRF as well as the Auditor General in terms of the number of students that we support, because for me to say that you have 13,545 to be that exact, probably not that wise, because sometimes some of the students don't register, sometimes even the grant holders make these estimates, and this is an area where we haven't really figured out what's the best way. Perhaps is to have a target, but maybe have an error margin of about 5 or 10% to negotiate, and if it's properly then included in the target, then we'll have a better way of reporting. Same with the number of research hub that are granted with the research grants, there's always a variation. As you can see, it's quite small, but nevertheless, if the target was 1,539, you have to then report. So we're just really looking at the best way in which this could be formulated. This Honorable Chair and Honorable Members reported last year about the number of meerkat antenna that are installed. We are building this 64 dish array for the first time in South Africa. So when we negotiated with SKA, South African project office in the NRF, everyone thought that you could just roll out the dishes. But after the team looked at this, they wanted to know whether, as we install these dishes, do they actually work. So they then stopped rolling out the dishes and started to install receivers and actually point the dishes or dish array to the side to see whether they can get images. At the recent visit, by the way, Honorable Chair, to the SKA site, we were very amazed, and I'm sure the members have seen both the pictures as well as the significant breakthrough that has been made by how sensitive such an instrument is, even with 16 dishes. So, yes, maybe we did not meet the target, but I think we now are happy that we have an array that we so we can roll out, and the project office as well as the NRF assured us that the 64 targets will be met by the end of 2017 December. Survey results, these are surveys that are conducted in partnership with the CESI. Again, we always find that sometimes it takes a little longer to process these surveys than we have anticipated. And then the pre-approval decisions within 90 days for the R&D checks and centers, we have tried our level best to finish the backlog so that we can get into the processing of the recent ones. The recent updates that we received from the program, that it seems that we are now getting rid of all the backlogs of previous years up to 2013, I think by October, and then this year we should be able to be back in getting this target about 90 days for the pre-approval. So on the financial performance, Honorable Chair, again, this is static budget split per program, so the bulk of the program that receives the funding goes to the NRF, as we said before, Program 4, followed by Program 4, 5, I think, and then followed by 2 and 3, and then the usual Program 1.6 for administration. Again, 93% is transfers, and then it's near just under 8-9% that is consumed by the department, and we've made the split. So at this quarter, when we checked, because this was the end of the year, we recorded 99.6% of the budget that was spent, and then 0.4% of the budget we could not spend. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we picked up a mistake, and our sincere apologies. On the slides you have, I think the surplus was not correct. So the correct one is the number that you just showed me. I think more than happy for my share members to correct it. So again, this is just each of the program in terms of the budget that was spent and that was not spent. And then in conclusion, we continue to build this SDI and provide the framework for science technology to be the main driver of addressing socio-economic challenges that we have in the country. And then we think we've made some progress in enhancing knowledge production, growth and transformation of the pool of knowledge workers, and the use of knowledge for all of us in South Africa. I think, Chair, this is where we end for today. And of course, the team of experts who know all the answers to the committee would like to know. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Give us confidence that we have a future.
Yep.
I think if we can do more throughout all the departments, I think we can serve our people better. But thanks very much. Quite a patient. I will take this opportunity to welcome Honorable Gagan and to allow members to raise questions and or make comments. Prof.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to ask, right on the, at the end, on slide number 51, regarding the R&D tax incentives, you state that there has been admin delays due to a lack of capacity. What is the impact of what you said earlier in terms of vacancies not to be filled due to budgetary constraints? What will be the impact of that on this? Because you are looking at reports and how to streamline the whole process, but if there is a lack of capacity to actually assess these applications, then it is a, or reports, then it is a problem.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the presentation. It's not included in here, but it's regarding the NRF and the situation there. I'm sure you are very much aware of a letter that's been written by the outgoing chairperson of the board about things that had happened there and allegations that's been made and the ministerial task team that's been set up to look into those allegations. Do you at this point wish to enlighten the committee about your view on that? Because we have not yet had an opportunity to get a briefing on the NRF, and I think it's just fair that we as a committee, especially since we had elections and we are not here that time, get an update on what's happening there and not just read in the newspapers on what is being said and get a newspaper eye view on what is happening at what is one of the most important entities in our country.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Frank, and welcome as well. Honorable Professor.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, DG, for the presentation. DG, I'm very happy to see that we are doing research in sanitation, agriculture, minerals, and energy provision. So just make sure that our goals remain grounded. In terms of budget allocation, how does this compare to investment in elite sciences such as the SKA and the SALT project? Because I think, to address those triple challenges that you mentioned, those projects in terms of the vast majority of South Africans could be considered not easy, whereas the other things, the citation and culture, energy, and even the efficiency of minerals, could be considered closer to the real needs of the country, as opposed to this area, as you said. So, in terms of investment, how does it compare, and how does it attract and increase research in those areas of sanitation, agriculture, minerals, and energy? And also, do we monitor implementation and the impact of those outcomes roll down to the very lowest level of communities that are affected by, for example, lack of sanitation, water reticulation, water purification, energy provision, agriculture? I think for now that's all. Thank you.
So, Richard, I just want to I made a mistake. I was thinking about the low output on the NRF, and I couldn't understand why. It's actually the CSIR, and I just want to make a follow-up on that. it's interesting that initially the ministerial task that was, or the company that got the contract didn't want to actually write a report as I got it. I got it from a different source. That the source tells me that the people that got the contract didn't want to write a report and until they were forced to. And that was interesting for me. But like I said, I got that from a different source. And I just want to know if you've got any comments on that as well. Thank you very much.
No, I think honourable members must feel free to raise questions and press them, irrespective of where the source comes from. I think you, honourable, also you want to come back.
Just a comment, Chair and DG. On page slide 55 and 56, those are pie charts. On page 48, it's a ring donut.
Honourable Brian, you wanted to make an addition on this?
I was just telling my colleague that I don't understand why people say fees must fall, but they don't, there's no uptake on NRA bursaries. That's just what should be part of comment. Thank you.
No, they must fall, yeah. DG, over to you.
Could I, before I start to check this, and just clarify from Honourable DeBlanc, the report that you referred to, is this the one on the R&D task team, or wasn't sure?
It was the letter that was wrote by Mr. Sabisi. He wrote... And then there was a report after that. There was a report because then someone else wrote a letter with several pointing out several irregularities, so-called irregularities. But it was found that the so-called irregularities wasn't irregularities because the person who wrote the letter was then found to she came from Sandbox. And she was actually fired from a job at Sandbox. So see, I actually did my homework on this one. So I didn't comment in the media or anything about this, but because I first wanted to hear what the department is going to say about this. So you know what I'm talking about now. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the questions. Let me start with the comment by Honourable Treat. What we discovered, in order to evaluate these R&D proposals that come to the department through the R&D tax incentive program, we need technical specs. So even in the department, if we think we don't have, we're contracting people out to evaluate the ideas, you know, to say, does this constitute R&D because the definition we have. And if it does, was it done at the time for which the claim is made, and then on the basis of that, a recommendation is made to the minister and to SARS, whether the company qualifies. So we are allowed, even in this constrained period, and the CFO could comment, to hire using goods and services experts from outside. So these experts are not part of the mainstream compensation budget, and therefore we will, in fact, I think we have added a couple more even in this past time in order to deal with the question of this. Why, my reporter indicated verbally that I think maybe my colleagues were in EXCO recently when we received it. I think by end of October we'll have got rid of all the backlogs up to 2013, so we'll be looking at from 14, 15, 15 and 16, which we hope will be done by the end of the year, and then from the next couple of months we will then be dealing with this year's backlog. So we think that this hasn't really affected our ability to build the capacity to do this. And then the question by Honourable Blanche, the letter was written by the CEO of the CSIR whose contract comes to an end, I think, at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote a letter to the staff after the minister received what is called a protective disclosure. And as per requirement of the minister, she has been trying to engage the board on the process of testing the allegations that were in the protective disclosure. The process is still under
investigation. In fact, we are at the stage where we're looking at what's the best way for the minister to engage in this investigation. I think there's been now an agreement that the board will carry the investigation in partnership with the department, but the person who will lead this will be an independent person appointed by the chair of the bar of our judicial system in order to make sure the process is objective and is fair. And then once that is completed, I would assume that the minister would be more than happy to come and share the outcomes of that report. I, in particular, as well, am very keen to have that because my name was implicated. So I think we are all waiting earnestly to have that completed because I think the minister will, at the appropriate time, come and share the report. My sense is that it will probably take another 2 to 3 months because the appointment is made, they will have to then go through all the documentation, maybe interview some people who are engaged in the allegations that we made. Our assessment is that actually it will take about 2 to 3 months. On the direct question the Honourable Paulson has asked, I am not able today to give you the breakdown of the amount of money that is spent on sanitation projects. We can provide that to Honourable if the Chair would like us to do that. And, it's difficult, though, to say is this an appropriate budget between these two, because our view is that we need to make sure that for the science system we have a balanced portfolio. And if you look at the investment generally everywhere in the world that is required for the infrastructure such as the SKA, and salt, it will naturally be much, much larger than the investment that you make on the utilization of knowledge for inclusive development. So for me personally, it's not about the breakdown but the appropriateness of the budget in relation to the scale of the problem that you have, number one. Number two, it is whether you are deriving some socio-economic benefits out of the huge large investments in salt as well as the social such as the SKA. We would be more than happy, because we have been engaging with the National Research Foundation and the project office, to start to quantify the social economic returns that we're getting out of the investments in SKA. Of course, we can quantify them in terms of financial returns, economic returns, but we can quantify them in terms of social returns. When we, together with deputy ministers, went to Carnarvon to look at the 16th TRA, there were 3 testimonies that were made by individuals who, for instance, have benefited from the SK. One was a diesel mechanic who was trained as part of providing energy provision in the SK. The other one was a young graduate who, from the Carnarvon High School, got more than 70-80% and was doing her studies at the University of Free State in the area of astronomy, just as an example. And I can't remember. The third one was a contractor who was given contract to reseal the road. Now, these 3 testimonies and these 3 would not have happened if it was not for the investment. We have now, I think, identified 2 or 3 technologies for technology development that the SKA is doing, which will have huge economic returns when it's commercialized in the area of ICT returns. The amount of students that have been trained with the rest of the continent through SKA investment in the partner countries and the impact that it's making in our own country, it's huge. So I would hope that, Honorable Paulson, as we then maybe give the full picture of the investments that are high, we not only look at the investments, but what are the returns, both socially and economically. And then the second part of the question is, if we look at the totality, because the same, and if we just take one example of the beneficiation activities, I do not remember all the numbers, but if we can track the commercialization of the components of the HISA program as well as full fuel cell, I think it's several billion rands, and the people who will be having energy in rural areas. So I plead, Chair, that we don't look at this in terms of just green counting. We will do that, we'll provide it, but I think, in my view, is the balance portfolio and the benefits that we're deriving from the totality of the balance investment that I think we have to have on the basis of a near 7.4 billion budget right away. But CFO, I'm sure this specific question to Honourable Paulson in terms of the balance, I'm sure will be more than happy, including co-investment, because, for instance, in the SAA, not only the investment by fiscal in South Africa, have we been able to attract foreign direct investment, which this country needs severely. 10 million euros we got a year ago on the investment from the Max Planck Institute for the receiver, where we should not have received. There is a, if you go to the site, there is a HERA paper experiment which has been put by California University, which we would not have had if we didn't have a reserve. So I hope that, again, just to emphasize the point, the implementation of this, yes, we do. As I say, we have, in partnership with the Water Research Commission, we actually funded them after we've done the water and sanitation roadmap to develop the capacity to develop the tools for assisting municipalities on how to assess the technology that they use for weather sanitation or for water provision. And this has now reached a stage where, as I say, across the 21 municipalities, this is a partnership we have with the Rural Development and COCTA, to identify those municipalities that would not have the expertise to pilot, but also not also to maybe to be ready in terms of that, having these technologies. For instance, the low pore flat toilet work that will be launched in Stutterheim in 2 months' time or something, I don't remember the details, 10th of September, was as part of this initiative where we identify the area. Now, our experience, and this is something that we have shared with the portfolio committee, is that these pilots seem to show promise. But the challenge is how do we then get, and if honorable members will continuously work and help us with those departments that have the budgets for the rollouts, that would be greatly appreciated. So, but we do monitor in terms of the implementation and the uptake of these tools and whether they have been utilized. So maybe I'm responding to my own question that says it enough in terms of making sure that the difference in people's lives is actually made by this. I think can do a lot. I'm not sure if colleagues want to add anything at all. No.
Issue of Honourable Chair Blanche on the uptake of the I think what is missing there is the explanation that the higher education institutions were unstable in this previous financial year, which led to that problem that we experienced. And it coincided with a year where we added 300 million rand towards the service. So to both increase the average values of the bursaries and also the additional numbers of students. So I'll say that was the core reason.
Chair, I would just want to thank the lady for the answer. Thank you very much. That makes a lot of sense. It's just such a pity because so much money went away saving the Pacific year last year. I mean, it hasn't even, that 300 million doesn't even begin to cover what went lost during the burning of equipment and everything at the universities. It's such a pity.
In addition to what the DG was saying, in response to Honourable Person, I think you're familiar with the work that has been done by the Centre of Excellence on what is known as Integrated Minerals and Energy Resource Analysis, Kimera, at the University of Johannesburg in partnership with BETS, the University of Limpopo. It's specifically to answer some of the issues that you're raising around energy, around mining and so on and so forth, in particular. Mineral and fossil energy resources in the country, so there's quite a lot of work that's being done. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there further questions or comments? Yes.
I just like to make a comment. I think a lot of things. Oh, sorry.
I would just like to make some comments here. One would actually, if you go to verse 21, quarter 4 achievements, and you see there that you are doing your sounds every time with your achievements, the totals and everything. Say like 900 graduates and students placed in DSD funded. Graduate students achieved is more than what you have budgeted for. So I've been going through this report and everywhere I note this, and this is very commendable for me. I would also like to comment and say that on page 30, 25, as a result, for the first time in South Africa, too, assessing the actual operation of the sanitation was developed. And for me, that is quite a crucial thing, and it is there, it has been achieved. So, what would also like to do, bring out these things to tell you that you are doing this. Then on page 10, the clinical study on anti-wrinkle. I don't see where you advertise the thing because it would make a lot of money. But for what you are doing there also, no? A benefit sharing agreement was signed between CSIR and true indigenous knowledge of the community. That is also very good. Thanks.
Honorable Korenhoff, welcome. The further comments before we allow the DG to say his last word.
Chairperson. Chairperson, in the report on page 84, this card, the first bullet point in the second last column, the integration of TRIP into DTI and uncertainty of TRIP funding for 2015-2016, and to date the NRF has not received any funds for 2015-2016 from DTI, and this is this funding for emerging researchers. So what are you doing about making sure that you actually get those money to fund emerging researchers?
Thanks very much. The person who's perhaps well qualified to speak about this is Dr. Machuche. But as far as I know, the TRIP program is a program which was run by the Department of Trade and Industry, but administered by the National Research Foundation. So last year, the Department of Trade and Industry took a decision that they would like to have this program not only run, so they wanted to then administer the program by themselves. So in other words, both the funding that comes as the parliamentary vote as well as the admin. But of course, there were multi-year funding requirements that DTI had to honor on the basis of the previous arrangement where the funding was administered by the National Research Foundation. So I assume, Dr. Matutu, this is part of the just the transitional challenges of the transfer of funds from the Department of Trade and Industry to the National Research Foundation as part of the admin related activities. So I am not sure what the status is now, so we just wanted to report that at that time the research institution doesn't show you much better than me where we are. Thanks.
Thank you very much, DG. Honorable, the issue around troop funding is associated with the estimate. When we estimate the number of researchers which should be funded, as you can see, we missed it, that target, minimally though. I think we had 4,539 and we ended up with 4,300 and some odd. but with a minor difference in the number of researchers to be funded. So at the time when we're setting the target, we're expecting to fund so many researchers, and we ended up with just a little bit less because of the transition of funding, which has been shifted to the DKI, which we have counted within the NRS. So that is the major explanation for the shift. So it's funded through the DKI. However, there are a number of us within the Department of Science and Technology who serve in the committee, which assesses those science, which look at the disbursement of funds. And in addition, when it comes to the researchers, we had an additional 400 million rand for our research grant funding within the NRF to add to the researchers' body, both as data and image research.
Okay.
Could I just stabilize there as to what amount of funding I'm talking about here? Because in phase 83, you're also given another, there's also another note that says that although the NRF over allocated in these awards, there was a score update referring to masters and doctoral allocations for 2015. It was a score update. And then I don't understand. So there was poor uptake, and one of the reasons is that the integration of STRIP into DTI, and with the money going back to DTI as opposed to being with NRF. So what sort of amount are we talking about here? And also, I'm trying to understand how come there was a poor uptake based on what you had there.
Okay, again, Dr. Moses, I think the poor uptake is the same reason that we've provided to Honorable Tupla, that last year we had the money that was allocated for the other funding categories,
okay,
but because of the hashtag fees must fall, some of the students, the money that was allocated to them, they never registered, they never, so that is for that. But the three for the DTI funding is one, which is an administrative hurdle, which I assume is going to go. But again, in terms of the total quantum, I don't have the figure in my mind, but we don't have that. So the funding for the DRIP program, or the funding for the entire students that are funded under the state endowment, 545?
No, just a DRIP that's going back.
Okay, all right. we can find it out. I don't have it at the top of my mind.
Yeah, I think we'll have to check that out.
Yeah. We'd rather not commit something with another word
check. Okay. No, that's fine. You know, the issues of students, there is a student from who come from Sunny who is not at school because they did not pay. They owe at all. The family, she's from a very poor family. No one else has nothing. She passed. She can't go to the next year. Because the university that you are owing, yet there is money from the department which is not utilized. You know, the irony of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
There is this question of institutions that do not fall within yourself, but that are dealing with what you are doing, and there were processes to try and integrate them. We don't know how far that process is. If you know, a comment on in that regard can be very, very helpful. And areas of research which are overlapping but pulling in other departments, there are coordination there. Of course, in the course of your input, you did mention that you have things that you develop, but those that are supposed to use them, sometimes their attitude towards them, the implementing agency, the Department of Water and Sanitation, for instance, you know, it shouldn't be something that you must do arm wrestling for people to utilize what you develop, because that is part of your mandate. Of course, it is their mandate to provide sanitation. But with the technology that you've evolved, it might make life a bit easier. If you could comment on those, I think. And if the student can be helped, if it's possible.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks.
comments, honourable members. On these institutions, we're in the process of reviewing the 1996 white paper, as well as the strategic management model, which is one that has said some entities must report to the land ministries and others must report to the Minister of Science and Technology. So for now, we are pursuing the idea of coordination budget at least of all science councils, because we feel that perhaps by having a single body, which not necessarily be our minister, maybe a group of ministers, a group of DGs, trying to minimize overlap and making sure that the funding is really utilized would be a first chance. Maybe then in the white paper, if the discussions go differently around how these institutions need to be managed, we could then look at what's the best model in which this can be done. Never show myself which is the best one, because the idea of a strategic management model where the feeling was that the accountability of these institutions must be in line departments. You can see the logic in that, that if they do research that improves, for instance, agriculture, ARC, then if it reports to that department will be familiar with research and therefore the uptake, which is your second point. Has it happened? I think as part of the white paper review, we get a better sense, and then we can all, I think, including the members of the portfolio committee, to decide what the best institutional architecture and governance that would be required. I don't know myself which would be the best one. But as I say, for now, it's a case of just making sure that at least the budget coordination is done to minimize that. And then I have asked Chairperson Tommy McCauley, who knows more about the comment made by Honorable Tuck about the anti-wrinkle program. I'm also keen to hear Tommy's answers. Why is this not widely the age? I need the screen, but he says it was the answer because it comes from Limpopo, he said.
Thank you, Chair. I think what's the matter of the anti-wrinkle, the clinical trials are still continuing. They just completed that part. Mm-hmm. And I think Honorable Tuck would be familiar with the process that you require approval from relevant authorities before you can roll it out, including before you can advertise to members of the public that there's such an instrumental product that's available. So that's where we are. And that will include your relevant authorities, such as the Medical Council and the South African Bureau of Standards, before it's available in the market. We know there's quite a lot of demand for both
females. You bring couples.
Absolutely.
I think the best bet will be to bring samples while you are still applying the process.
I just want to make another comment. The Latina monitoring is like, it will take more or less like 3 years. Yeah, for the
test, it's medical age. Okay. Sorry, I just wanted to say, in terms of the time frames, it will really all depend on, sometimes you try and get approval and it's backwards and forwards, so one can't really promise that. It's just that while you're doing it, you can still sell, but you cannot make certain things for money. So that's really what's withholding us. But when, for example, with the Bureau of Standards is ongoing, and in terms of just making sure that when the market's ready, the issues around packaging as well as the part of marketing is properly done. So that there's been some progress. And as I said, when there's certain issues of regulation, then some of them will still be making their way to the end.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a quick summary of how we offer the bursary. We offer them to postgraduate students and certain areas that we have bias in, particularly science, engineering and technology, and priority areas which were mentioned, I think, by Honorable Paulson, basically, which are within our strategies. And at the same time, they are not full cost themselves. There are those which are full cost, there are those that are partial cost. So we find out that the student has to top up, or the university has to top up sometimes to get to the number that we require. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
But we will be more than to allow the students. It's better within the framework that we are allowed to find. If not, we cannot do this.
Yeah. Not that there's a physical sign in the subject. So the student will be advised to branch into the area which is relevant to science and technology. I see Honorable Tak wanted to follow up whether that thing can be brought and say it's okay.
Yes, I do have a small follow-up. I would like to comment again to say that I see it as a very huge something that's happening to the question communities. It's like giving them kind of self-sustainability, self-being, you know. Mm. They're having it and they're doing it and they are getting paid for it. And that is, I think, why we are here, to make sure that those things are happening. Besides, it will be making a lot of money. We know that. It's not even women alone. Men also. They would like it.
No, I think we in terms of questions, we might end up repeating ourselves. We have raised the questions and we have responded. One thing I want to put through is that the issues that might sometimes sound like they are not necessarily in the mainstream, but they are out there, which needs the department when you come to brief us. We should talk to those issues, like the issue that the Honorable Terblanche raised about the allegations in the media. I think it's in the interest of the department that as you come here, we should also talk to those issues without having to wait for us to raise them. Not that we mustn't raise as members of the committee, we must raise those issues because it's our responsibility. If we can't, we'll not be doing our work of oversight. And we think that once the processes are concluded with the investigations, it will be good if we are advantaged with a feedback or a report so that we know. The questions raised around today, what you are doing vis-a-vis what is your mandate, I think it will be good that you should be able to put something together that indicates that what you are doing is in line with the mandate that you have been given as part of the derived from our development plan. I think it's important to do that so that you are not viewed as an entity that is engaged in exercises that are not necessarily beneficial to our strategic objective. I think that will be very, very helpful. But we are grateful to the inputs that you gave us together with your team. It is not your absence that makes interactions to be productive like it happened last week. Even when we are here, we have the beneficial interactions, and we are quite grateful that you always lead from the front and continue to do that. It's just that after you speak, we don't, you know, we can't clap hands. But yeah, we are proud that, you know, the department is trying to do its best to serve our people. And thank you very much for the time, and have a good day. I don't know if there is anything we can ask that was arranged except the tea that we gave them.
No.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, DJ. We'll ask members to remain for a few seconds. There are issues that we must try and process.
From our side, we are very grateful for this and the question that we have shown.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, the reason we ask that we should just remain for a very short period. There are two issues that we thought we need to process. One of them is that there is an invitation for the National Research Foundation Award, which will take place on the 1st September at 16 hours. In Limpopo, so we wanted to check availability of members so that they can go and attend that. And then those who are available, I think they can forward their particulars to Shana, then she can make the necessary arrangement, travel and accommodation on the 1st of September. NRF Awards, Science Excellence for Development. The next one is on program. I thought maybe Shana can take us through that one.
Yes. And the program is just a bit of a challenge because we don't have a full-time chairperson yet, so we kind of feeling our way through how to go forth in terms of the legislation so that we don't experience any challenges with some of the legislation that has been in front of Parliament already. So basically we work on a 2-week thing, so I can provide something on a 2-week basis all the time, and we just discuss and basically feeding our way through the program with the legislation and such. I did put out a program initially which we will complete within 1 term, but that's how we do it because they want to know what you're going to do for the whole term. So we're going to focus on legislation for the entire term, so that's why I can. But it's very unlikely that it will happen that way. The hearings and that are all cramped in that 1 program, but it won't happen like that. So we won't be rushing through that piece of legislation in the way I took it initially when I had to submit the program at the end of last term. So our program will go on. We will deal with legislation, but in smaller bits than I had put it down on that on the initial program. But people will know at least 2 weeks before the time what's happening for the next 2 weeks if that's what we're
saying.
That's
fine.
Then we can comment on what she has just presented around how we can manage ourselves through until such time that things are stable. Yes, Honorable.
Jefferson, do we have to elect a new chair every week? Can't we leave it for 2-3 weeks or a month?
No.
Does that have to be every week?
Yeah, yes, the superintendent is the rule.
It's every day.
Question on.
Okay. We attempted that last week, and every time we did, we must elect a chairperson. Today we had to start meetings because it was 9:30, and we were 4, and the rule allowed that you can proceed, but we did not elect a person to do the proceedings. I just have to take the initiative and allow the process to unfold. We can say, no, let's regularize and elect the chairperson of the previous meeting that has already passed. so we can do that, but I don't think there is any
we can't go on like, you know, this is the second meeting. It can't be.
So I think technically, even if you elect every week and with a different chairperson, then it's problematic with how you see our correspondence and how you, that kind of thing. So in the past, we kind of took it for long, technically, because you will elect the same person. But the flaw is there that, say, if I want to advertise a public hearing, which chairperson do I, like, if we change the chairperson all the time, because it's the person that you, just a full technicality. But I, yeah, that was just my thought. I'm just crazy.
No, thanks. I think unless if there's any other matter that members want to reflect, otherwise we will not be 10 members anyway. But thanks very much for responding and participating in the deliberations. Thanks a lot. Maybe let those from the ANC who can sit a bit who want to inform us about something. Meeting is adjourned.
The whole problem in South Africa, if leaders who will not be from media will have the freedom. Now we are having a for all of us, including the journalists. We are saying, show us the electoral commission.
There's no
electoral commission. It was a decision. So everything happened every day in the newsroom. So they must let the house for nothing. And this is. And then what is the same is led by some people. Then we said to them, okay, we wanted to know who is the communication system. You will be shocked. The chairperson of the CDC, Professor Mabu, is a professor by profession. The DPC of the process is advocated by profession.
Yes.
The thing,
you got two people from two groups today.
Now. In the chapter attack of it.
One left from his own group.
And
two people left from two groups today because of the conflict and because of the fact that you didn't want to listen. Don't mail me now because I'm fallen. You were the one that wrote a long thing, and I was the one that had to follow the conversation because it was important to follow that long conversation, and I had to accept it, and then you had to accept it. Please get those members back.
No, I will get them back, really. We can't allow them.
I don't know where they are. I just saw them leaving.
How do you think?
And I really don't understand between you've got an issue with me if you take it up in a WhatsApp group. Then you write in this person.
Oh,
if
No, you didn't. You wrote on a WhatsApp group and I'm always setting them up. You wrote that.
I'm